This is our State Capitol Report, where we'll find out what's been happening under the State Capitol Dome in the past week and take a look ahead at to what might be making headlines this week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 10th. We have a lot to cover in this first half of our State Capitol Report. So let me welcome in our first guest, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
You know, we just talked in our last hour with a Republican political commentator and a Wisconsin state Democratic state representative about right-to-work legislation and what's going on in Michigan and whether that might happen here in Wisconsin. What are you hearing at the state capitol?
Well, I mean, the Michigan situation escalated so fast that you actually haven't heard a whole lot of commentary from, say, the governor since it happened. They moved with breathtaking speed in Michigan on this.
And no, it was just the same day the governor held a news conference, and Thursday it was passed. They still have to do some reconciling of the different bills that they passed, but it could happen as soon as tomorrow.
Well, I mean, here's what we know about where the leaders stand in Wisconsin. The governor, Governor Scott Walker, supported, co-sponsored right-to-work legislation when he was a member of the legislature. He was asked repeatedly during the recall campaign if he would sign a right-to-work bill if it came to his desk, or more specifically, if he'd promise to veto it, because he kept saying it's not a priority for him. But the governor's never promised to veto it. His lieutenant governors, if she were in that situation, never promised to veto it. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss favors right to work, but he said it's not going to happen this year. That's where a lot of the decisions are being made. But they've said that repeatedly, that it's not going to happen this year. But again, you saw what happened in Michigan, and people were surprised there.
Yeah, well, the governor's being asked about a lot of things these days, and he is saying it's not necessarily on his agenda. For example, I talked to him on this show a couple of weeks ago and asked him about whether or not he wanted to end same-day voter registration in Wisconsin. And he said, well, way too much is being made of this issue. It's not a priority. My priorities, jobs and the budget and such, but not same-day voter registration. But apparently ending same-day voter registration is a bill that's being floated at the state capitol right now.
Yeah, I mean, the governor's saying it's a distraction, but it is something that he brought up in a speech in California. He was asked about it, but he volunteered that as something he'd favor, and he points out, this is a stance he's had for a couple years. But you also have a couple of Republican lawmakers at the Capitol who have said they're going to introduce a bill to end same day registration in Wisconsin. So it's not like people are pulling this out of thin air. He was asked about it again last week, in part because there was a press conference in Milwaukee by leaders there and Mayor Barrett asking the governor to go a step further and say that it's not a priority for you, why don't you just say you're not going to do it? You're not going to sign it. The governor wouldn't go that far.
Again, this is a ridiculous issue. My priorities are about jobs, creating jobs. I answered a simple question. It's not a part of my legislative priorities. It hasn't been something we've talked about. It's something I merely answered a question on.
And interesting development, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that Walker's son actually used same-day registration to register to vote in the August Republican primary. Given all that has been discussed on that in the last couple of weeks, that headline caught some attention.
Yeah, so his son did register on the same day. Very briefly, Sean, Republicans say we need to end this same-day voter registration because?
They feel like it introduces problems at the polls and that clerks can't keep up with it. A number of clerks have been out in the media in recent weeks, though, saying we actually favor it. It's a lower cost option for us, than other alternatives out there. I expect you might hear this debate in a committee hearing room this session.
Yeah, and Democrats say Republicans want to end it because?
Democrats say that it's a partisan motive, that they feel like you know, the majority of people who are going to come out and same day register favor Democrats, and Republicans are looking to cut that off.
Speaking of partisan, I understand that there is a proposal to change the Government Accountability Board. The Government Accountability Board right now consists of retired judges, sort of a bipartisan mix of retired judges. And is it Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald who thinks maybe we ought to go back to the old system of political appointees?
This is something that he threw out there to a couple media outlets last week, said that he thought that Republicans weren't getting a fair shake under the current system. That the decision that those six reserve judges were making were favoring Democrats, and he favored going back potentially to a system like we had under the old elections board in Wisconsin, where, you know, in that situation, you had the majority leader had an appointee, and the speaker had an appointee, and the parties had appointees, and the governor had an appointee. But they all answered directly to those people, whereas this pool of reserve judges is, you know, much different. Fitzgerald said he wanted to consider moving back to that, but the governor, when asked about it, you know, gave it a cool reception.
You know, certainly issues like that we'll look at, but that's not a priority for us. It's not something we're going to focus on. It's certainly not going to be a part of the legislative package we're going to be pushing the legislature on early in 2013.
And he was further asked if, you know, he felt that the board had treated him unfairly.
I haven't had any problems. I mean, for us, you know, they're always issues you get no matter what organization you deal with, but we just persevere, move forward. Again, it's not been a problem for me.
So, and again on this, like a lot of issues, the governor wouldn't go so far as to, you know, say I'll veto something like this if it comes up, but you know, play a couple of his comments there to give you an idea that he was, you know, not exactly embracing it when asked about it by reporters.
Yeah, he's not also embracing an Arizona-style immigration enforcement bill that is also being floated?
This is something that he said he would sign when he was running for governor in 2010, and it's something that Republicans flirted with introducing last session. They didn't. You know, he was asked about it as Republicans around the country, a number of them are saying we need to find a way to appeal to Hispanic voters because, you know, we really got killed with them in the 2012 presidential election. If our party wants to have a future, we have to appeal to them. So whereas he said he would sign one of these laws back in 2010, asked about it last week by reporters, he had a different take.
I'd push to make sure it didn't come up. I'm not going to make any veto promises on any legislation right now as much as just say my priorities are the five I've laid out, and I'm going to spend my time and effort trying to push the legislature to act on things that fit within those five priorities.
Yeah, he called that, said it'd be a huge distraction. And he talks about his five priorities there. You know, those are things that he discusses frequently, you know, reforming government, transforming education, infrastructure spending, things along those lines.
And jobs.
And jobs in the economy, right?
Yeah.
Workforce.
Well, you know, this immigration reform bill, this Arizona-style immigration enforcement bill was suggested by, I remember back, you know, a couple years ago when this was going on, by State Representative Don Pridemore. And I think we spoke to him on this show about that bill way back when. And now he's announced that he's running for state school superintendent.
Right. And this is one of those officially nonpartisan offices. But Don Pridemore, a conservative Republican, he feels like sitting state superintendent Tony Evers, you know, is a Democratic office holder. And, you know, that this is how far the campaign has really gone at this point. You know, Pridemore just he toured the state, said he was going to run. We don't know a whole lot about his platform at this point.
Yeah. Well, we will certainly follow that issue. And we have many others to still talk about as we talk about things happening under the state Capitol dome. We'll continue talking with Sean about the latest with the John Doe investigation, and we'll talk about mining. and what's going on in that Senate Select Committee on Mining. There's a couple of different issues actually going on with trying to change the process to make it easier or quicker to open up an iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. But I know that the chair of the Mining Association would like a complete overhaul of mining laws in Wisconsin. He wants what he calls the ban on mining lifted in Wisconsin. We heard from him, Tim Sullivan, back in last week at this time when we, during our state capitol report. We will get another perspective on mining as well when we welcome in former Wisconsin DNR Secretary George Meyer after 7:30. If you have a question for Sean or a comment on some of the issues making news under the state capitol dome, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, there is a winter storm warning still in effect for Douglas and Bayfield counties in far northwest Wisconsin until noon today. Otherwise, scattered snow showers in northern Wisconsin. There is a slight chance of snow or patchy light freezing drizzle in the south. Highs today will be in the upper teens to the lower 30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Tomorrow at this time, we're planning on talking about the fiscal cliff talks and thought we would do a fiscal cliff 101 discussion as well as invite some members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation to join in to talk about what needs to be done to avoid falling off the fiscal cliff. Or maybe nothing needs to be done. Some people advocate going ahead and allowing that to happen. So we'll talk about that tomorrow between 7 and 8. Right now it's our State Capitol Report, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And speaking of the fiscal cliff, Sean, Governor Walker went to the White House last week, didn't he, to talk to the president about how states would be affected by this?
He went on half of the National Governors Association, not the Republican Governors Association, where he's also very active and which was active in his recall campaign. National Governors Association has Democrats and Republicans as members. He went there as a bipartisan team of six and basically sounded, bipartisan notes about we need to get something done. We're just here to say that the governor should have a seat at the table. And, they were told that they'll be dealing with Vice President Biden as this progresses. But they met briefly with the president last week.
So they had no they weren't twisting arms, just saying get together and get this done.
They said they didn't have any specific proposals. Mm-hmm. They wanted to point out that if you do this, it's going to affect not only our economies, but our revenues. And if you're going to have these cuts, you should give us some kind of flexibility to make cuts at the state level, since federal programs are often tied in with state programs. But it sounds like that was about the gist of it. And you know, the governor, when asked about recently what should be done in the fiscal cliff negotiations, he was, urging more of a do no harm stand by congressional Republicans. But you didn't hear any of that. It is stopped at the White House.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was some activity last week regarding the John Doe investigation, where one of the governor's former aides was sentenced.
A guy that he appointed to a veterans board, Kevin Kavanaugh, was sentenced to 2 years in prison, This is actually one element of the investigation where the governor's office did, inform prosecutors that they were suspicious that there was embezzlement going on of this veterans charity. The judge had very stern words for Kevin Kavanaugh last week, who was, embezzling this potentially, $50,000+ that was set aside to go to veterans. And this is just, one element of the John Doe investigation. Also last week, Keith Gilkes, who was the governor's chief of staff, his first chief of staff in Madison, also worked on his 2010 campaign and on his recall campaign, was speaking on a forum in Milwaukee. And, he was asked later about what was, you know, about his role, if any, in the John Doe investigation and what's been turned up so far. And, you know, he was asked if documents that have been produced so far by the DA show illegal coordination between the campaign represented by him and with county staff. And, you know, Gilkes basically said, I can't talk about that.
I don't believe that's the case whatsoever. However, because of my cooperation with the DAs, I'm not going to comment further on it, as it's part of a legal proceeding that I'm not allowed to talk about.
So just, you know, kind of a reminder that even though a number of these cases are wrapping up, you know, there exists still that John Doe investigation in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. And, you know, at the recent sentencing of Kelly Reinfleisch, you actually saw a number of snippets of emails that included Keith Gilkes, where the campaign team led by Gilkes was meeting with county staff and, you know, going beyond coordinating schedules, where they were talking about slowing down open records requests, things like that.
So this John Doe thing is just going to keep on keeping on? I mean, do we have any idea when it might end?
It's a great mystery. We don't know what's going to proceed. It's obviously not a completely secret proceeding because there's a lot of information out there about it, and the criminal complaints that have been out there so far, you know, tell you a lot. But as far as where it goes, what happens next, we know that it's still ongoing, but. You know, we don't know where it might go next.
We're going to talk about mining in just a moment, but a couple of quick hits here. What reaction is there to the request from Governor Walker's wife, Tonette, that she would like close to $500,000 to remodel the executive residence kitchen?
You know, among the governor's critics, pretty negative reaction there. That was a story that came out before they had before they put out any kind of press release on it. And so the idea that there would be this kind of dollar figure to remodel a kitchen, people who don't like the governor didn't like that. The governor's, since said that we've got to modernize this. It's not just a house. It's our residence. We entertain a lot of people here on behalf of the state. And so, you can imagine that kind of dollar figure for a kitchen. The governor's critics, he's done that.
I saw a little bit of griping on social media about this proposal that was floated by, I believe, a Republican lawmaker to consider raising the per diem for the time that state legislators spend in Madison. I think it's around $88 a day now, and it hasn't been raised for a long time.
Yeah, this is something proposed by or being considered by Assembly Republicans. They've got a big majority. They feel like with the map that they have right now, they could have that majority for some time. And so they're talking about not only that, as reported first by the Journal Sentinel, they're also talking about, it sounds like finalized talk about the Speaker, Robin Voss, occupying not only the Speaker's office, but the adjoining Majority Leader's office with his own policy team, who was going to work on behalf of rank-and-file lawmakers.
Interesting.
Voss downplays the move, it would seem that that's kind of a significant shift in the way that the Speaker's office runs things.
Well, we only have a few minutes left before our news break. Mining, what's the latest from this Senate Select Committee on Mining? Are we going to have a new mining proposal?
We have the sort of bare bones mining proposal from State Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville, who's had this committee meeting for several weeks. And basically, it does a few things differently than the bill that the Assembly Republicans passed last year. Quite a few things, actually, but three big ones. There's all this talk about timelines and that Assembly Republican bill. They wanted to have a one-year timeline for permitting process for mines. Collins says there's a one-year pre-application process, then 2 years for the permitting process, and opportunity for the DNR or the company to take pauses in between if they feel like an application's incomplete. His bill preserves something called the contested case hearing, where opponents of a mine can challenge a mine, under oath. He puts time limits on that, but preserves it at the same time. And really a big thing that his proposal does it is it doesn't rewrite scads of environmental laws in Wisconsin, basically leaves those untouched. So Cullen is going to be in the minority in just about a month. And this is a committee that started meeting after the recalls before the November election, though. but he thinks that this work product will speak for itself.
You can dismiss this as a committee that's interim and between the Republican majorities if you want, but you can't eliminate the information, the facts that this committee heard.
All right, so he wants a sort of a two-year window for a mine application is what it comes down to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And this is he's been holding this committee. It's an unusual committee in the sort of the degree to which it went in-depth on this issue, took hours and hours of testimony, held sort of a open markup session where they looked at this proposal and suggested changes. It is fairly open and lengthy. To describe, it would be one way of looking at this committee.
Is the mining association pro mining people? Are they going to like this?
I have not heard environmentalists or business groups pile on this thing yet, and okay. I'm not sure what to read out of that. If they think it's harmless because it's proposed by a Democrat or what?
Well, we only have about a minute to go.
Yeah.
Does it have a chance?
I'll play a real quick clip by Jim Holtbrin, a retiring Democratic senator from Northern Wisconsin. And he said he's skeptical and not thinking that what they've done here is going to make any difference.
The bill will be passed, not defeated, and there won't be bipartisan support, and the public will be uncomfortable with that outcome, and they won't be reassured about environmental protection in Wisconsin, and the tribes will get engaged, and then the feds will get engaged, and this mine, people who said it won't be built, I completely agree that it will not be built in the next probably decade in Wisconsin.
So he was talking, he says the Assembly Republican version from last session is going to pass this year by close vote. You've got a larger margin in the Senate, so somebody like Dale Schultz can't block it single-handedly. As far as Holtbrin's concerned, that means there won't be a mine built because the tribes will block it. You know, the feds will block it.
There'll be a big fight over it.
Yeah. Like I say, I don't know where people stand on this bill exactly.
Sean, thanks very much. We'll talk more about mining coming up after the news with George Meyer, former DNR secretary.
You.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.